to stay strong within the kingdom. We pray that you would be with us in our study tonight and watch over us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, so in chapter 5, we've been talking about lots of different pieces that the author has been presenting. We started with, you know, contrasting the priesthood between Jesus' priesthood and that of Aaron. And we were contrasting that. We were looking at some of the components that shows that the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, was ineffective, that Jesus' priesthood is effective, and that it is after the order of Melchizedek. And, of course, we're going to be getting deeper into that whole concept in chapter 7 again. So we've been looking at those pieces. We were also looking at last week that Jesus, our great high priest, he is the author of our salvation. So he is the Son and he's the high priest. And we were talking about those concepts for a bit. And the, you know, that the high priest offers sacrifice and he was appointed by God and, you know, he was of man. So the lineage of the high priesthood through Aaron fit all of those. You know, the high priest was of mankind. He was a man. He was appointed by God. God selected the line of Aaron, and he offered sacrifices. And then we saw, of course, that Jesus fits that exactly also, because he came to the world, and he was a man like us in all points, and he gave himself up, and he died for us. And so he fit that qualification, if you will, if you want to call it that. And, you know, he was appointed specifically by the Father to fill this role, and he offers sacrifice. As the sacrifice for the atonement of sins. And so through his death and through his resurrection, we have salvation. So the Son, our great high priest, our Son and high priest, is the author of our salvation. So we spent some time talking about that. Now we get into chapter 5, and we get to verse 12, is where we're going to dig into tonight. And the author switches gears again, and he goes into another parenthetical statement. And this time, he's talking about the peril of immaturity. So this time, he's looking at the problems that arise when you don't grow, when you don't expand your knowledge of God, of Christ, when you aren't in a mode of growth. If you are stagnant or falling backwards or not growing at all and you stay immature, there is a lot of problems with that. And so the author now is going to start talking about that. And he starts, and it kind of, well, he starts in verse 12 with the word for. So we've got to go back to verse 11. Because, you know, that's pointing back to verse 11. And, you know, you can start seeing where he's going right away. Of whom we have much to say. This is, he's talking about Jesus, the high priesthood, and after the order of Melchizedek. And then he says, of whom, Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1, he starts making some conclusions, and he starts going with the first word there, therefore. But before we dig into that, let's look at this section of 12 through 14, where he's setting the stage that he's going to start making these conclusions from. So, I think you can see, when you read that, I mean, it's very evident what he's talking about. He's talking about being immature. Okay? And sometimes when I read through this, I sometimes, and it's probably just in the back of my mind or whatever, I get a sense of a frustration level or something. And I'm probably reading that in between the lines. But as a person, I could totally put myself in that spot. It's like, you people should be at a different spot than you are, and you're not. And I would want to talk to you about this, but I can't. So I got to talk to you about the first principles again. So I kind of sense that, but I could be, just totally reading that in there. But as a person, I could sense that, you need to be growing and you haven't. So, for by this time, the phrase literally means on account of time. Okay, so when he says for by this time, it's literally on account of time. Okay, so we all know and we understand as humans, we all learn and grow and understand things at different rates, if you will, right? Sometimes it takes a 2x4 before I get it, okay? And other people get it instantly, okay? We all learn and grow differently, right? That's just who we are. So is it unfair for him to say this? I don't think it's unfair for him to say this. Yep. At least 30 plus years. Right. When you read through Hebrews, the writer, whoever he was, knows these people. He knows these people. I mean, you get that sense. He knows these people. So is it unfair for him to say this? I don't think so. I think it's an honest looking at a group of people that he knows, and he goes, I know you should be at a different place than you are. So on account of time, okay, literally, on account of time, you have had enough time to grow, but you haven't. And then I think about myself, I think about ourselves, I think about okay, how would we fit in that, Janet and Emily? Yeah. It's totally the analogy. Right. As we're raising our kids, it's like, you should know better than that. It's been enough time. You've done that enough. You should know not to do that or whatever. Yeah. By account of time. Billy and then John. Yeah. Right. Yep. Completely. That is a trap that we all as humans fall into. It's easier to let the other guy take care of it. Okay? It's easier to let him grow and learn and study, and then he can just talk to me. As humans, we like to take the easier road. And that's a trap.
We were looking at the same notes.
Awesome.
It's been a generation. If it's 30 years, it's been a generation.
Yeah, a whole generation, if you will.
Babies have been born, and grandparents have died. And with the passage of time, like you, it was just mentioned, someone has left that needs to be replaced, and it's your turn. Mm-hmm. And maybe they weren't ready yet.
Right. Yep. And that you can see that happens too. That happens today. Yeah. It we can easily fall into these things, Linda.
Well, if you look back in the chapters just before this, he does a lot of bringing to the remembrance of things that were said before.
Yep.
there's this, all of these passages from the prophets. And so he's talking to people that were reluctant at first to believe Christ was the Messiah.
Sure.
They were convicted and they believed. But they're still being slow to grasp the truth and everything. They still seem to want to hang on. And
right.
So it's kind of a pattern they've set.
It definitely seems so. Yeah, that they've fallen into this way, this pattern, and they're not learning and growing and excelling. They're just there.
You never know what you're capable of doing, what kind of class you're capable of teaching, what kind of work you're working, unless you take a step at once.
Right. Yep. We need to try. We need to put ourselves out there. We need to get outside our little boxes. That's not easy. As humans, we like it easy. We like to take the easy road. I get it. It's inherent in our nature. We were created that way. Okay, I get it. God also tells us you need to grow. You need to push yourself and you need to do this. So get busy and do it. Right. So this group wasn't taught because this group didn't do the teaching. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. Now let's talk about that for a second. All right. So, for though by this time, so on account of time, you ought to be what? Teachers. You ought to be teachers. Okay. He's saying you guys should be at a point where you are teaching. Okay, so question, how does that relate to James? James chapter 3, verse 1. What does 3:1 say? It says, let not many of you be teachers, but here he says, you guys ought to be teachers. How's that work? Right. Right.
You can teach without being
certified. Yes. The real big fundamental difference between James 3 and here in Hebrews, where he says you need to be teachers. I mean, he's telling us we need to be teachers. And in James he said you ought not to be teachers. Well, the fundamental difference between those two I've always kind of looked at is attitude. It's a question of attitude. James, he's warning us not to have this puffed up, arrogant, look at me, I'm the teacher thing going on. So you ought not to be doing that. And here he's saying you need to be growing so that you can be teaching. Now remember what the situation is. We talked about this several months ago. What's the point of the book of Hebrews? Okay. That's the easy answer. What's the hard answer? The point is you have the kingdom, stay in the kingdom. Don't leave the kingdom. You have Christ, don't leave him. Because he is, Linda?
Better.
Thank you. Okay. Better is the reason. The point is, don't leave Christ. Because he's better. Okay. So if that's the point, these people are in jeopardy or are leaving, what should you be doing as teachers? Strengthening and edifying and building up. And you're not doing it because all these people are leaving.
So in the last few verses, it says that you are not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness.
Right.
And when you are, solid food, or the teaching, is by constant use and have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That's how they were teachers. They had to know what was righteousness, how to tell good from evil.
And then how to... tell people about that.
They weren't doing that. They evidently were not distinguishing good from evil and didn't know about living
right.
righteous.
And if you are doing all of that, then you are edifying, strengthening, and building up your brethren so that they won't leave the faith. I kind of think that's where he's getting at here, okay? You ought to be teachers. Well, teachers of what? Well, teachers of the Word, teachers of God, teachers of righteousness, good versus evil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the point here, I think, is one of edification, is one of building up, is one of strengthening. The point is all these people are in jeopardy of leaving the faith. Well, they wouldn't be doing that if you were building them up. So get busy building them up so that they'll want to stay, so they'll understand to stay. Doug?
Well, there are different levels of being teachers or different levels of teaching. What I see being spoke of here involves a lot of individual to individual person, our neighbor, our co-worker,
definitely.
Where we teach Christ. All right? That's I wouldn't necessarily say that's a lower level of teaching, but it's a more of an individualized.
Yeah.
It's not a group of people where a teacher is appointed to teach the group. But what I see here that we ought to be teachers, we ought to have the wisdom,
right.
or sufficient wisdom, with which to teach our neighbor,
right.
co-worker, whoever else we run into.
He's not talking to an individual. He's talking to a group. You should all by now be teachers.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not like, oh, you should be a teacher so that we can all listen. That's not what he said. On account of time, you should all be teachers. Okay? So that's to all of us. That's not just to one person. Yeah, Karen. You're not strengthening, growing as an individual so that you can be the example you need to be, so that you can strengthen people as you should be, so you can be teaching people as you can be. I get it. That's hard. You got to get outside your box. But that's what we're commanded to do. That you can... Right. And the point here is that they weren't familiar enough with the deeper principles.
Well, it's truly, I agree with what Karen said. It's that how you live your life. They evidently were not living their life so that other people would come and say, how come you're different than
right.
everybody else? And then you can tell them, because we're told to do that. Live our life so that people
right.
will ask
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
why you're different. And that's what they were not doing. They weren't
yeah.
distinguishing good from evil by constant use.
Right. And so people weren't seeing it. The people real close to them weren't seeing it. The people probably in their own group weren't seeing it. And so they're in jeopardy of losing their faith. Hence why this is so perilous to be immature and not growing, because it leads to a path of walking away. Have we ever seen that before? Oh, yes. New Christians come in and they're excited, but they don't grow and they don't grow and they don't grow for whatever reason. And then you don't see them. Does that ever happen? Oh, yes, that happens all the time. We've got to.
Living your life as a holy sacrifice every day.
Yeah.
As, we've been told
right.
to elevate everything to the level
right.
of worship.
Yes.
Because we are living sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep ourselves spotless.
You ought to be teachers. Karen, and then I thought I saw another hand. Yes? No, maybe?
I think another point is that he's saying what you put into it is what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Not putting enough into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And that's a really good point, too. because I've come across this. I know we all have. You know, sitting there, well, you know, sorry, Steve, that didn't do anything for me. That sermon, that didn't do a thing for me. Well, time out. Who's really the problem here? It wasn't Steve and his message. The message was God's word, unless he did it wrong, which I haven't been able to call him on anything, so I'd say yes, he's done it right. So, if it's not the message, well, it's me sitting here in the pew. Why didn't I get anything out of it? Because I didn't put enough into it, maybe. Maybe. But it's, again, it's one of those things we need to be conscious of. We need to be careful of. You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles. Okay? So he just hammering his point home. You guys, by now, on account of time, you should be teachers. You know, he wants to explain to them things that are hard. He wants to explain to them things that they need to understand. Okay? All the stuff he's been talking about, the need for priests because of sinful man. Okay? The job of the priest that stands between God and man. Melchizedek, the appointment of the priest by God. Okay? This is big time stuff. And he wants to talk to them about it, but he can't because they're not mature enough to understand it. They haven't grown. And he's saying, you guys have had plenty of time. So you, let's get going. It was a trap for them. Yeah. Right. It was a trap for them. Yes, indeed. Yeah, Linda.
Well, I think that little statement there kind of tells us that Hebrews is a lot of basic stuff that we all need to learn.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, all the time. So they need to be teachers of, they need to be having, but they're supposed to be teachers, but instead they need someone to teach them the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Okay, so, yes, and we talked about this a second ago. By this time, on account of time, it's been 30 plus years. AD 33, AD 63. Okay, it's been 30 years, generation. Okay? They've forgotten the first principles. Okay? And then he gets into this contrast. And he kind of hangs with this analogy for a little bit, doesn't he? Okay? And we touched on it a little bit already. You have come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay? So he's setting up the analogy. I mean, it's very clear. You know? A babe to an adult. A babe to even somebody that's not an adult, but is middle age, growing, you know, babe and not babe, you know, that you're unskilled in the word because you're too immature. You're a babe. You're just there. You're only taking in the milk. You need to grow so that you can have, verse 14, solid food, because that belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? So he's just setting up this contrast. Now, the interesting thing is, again, because of his audience, this totally directly ties into Isaiah 28:9. So he's pulling in Isaiah again here. Okay? We could look at 1 Corinthians 3 and we could come up with the same thing. So, you know, he's setting this up. So let's talk for a second about the concept here. My New King James uses the word of full age. I think others have the word mature. Okay, in their versions, mature. Teleos, something like that. We need a Greek-speaking person here to help me. But T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos. Okay. So when you think of mature, what do you think about? You think of the word mature, or as the New King James, I said, of full age. What do you think about? Kelly? Okay. Okay. Right. Right. Kelly? Okay. And if you look at that as a concept, that whole thing, we're looking at the word mature. Okay, when you look at Hebrews and you look at everything that we're talking about and we're going to be talking about, there's a concept that's embodied in those thoughts. And it's completely implied by the Greek word here, which I can't pronounce, that's translated mature. But the emphasis here on is on complete and perfect. And not from the standpoint of never failing, but the standpoint of if you are a mature person, you are a complete person. Okay? You're not, the writer, there's so many things that we're going to talk about in Hebrews that focuses on the concept of complete. Jesus, the high priest, the great high priest, because he's complete and total. Okay, salvation in Christ, complete and total, once for all, complete and total, not over and over and over again. All these different things point to the concept of completeness being perfected. So if you are mature, it doesn't say that you will never fail or mess up, etc., 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 but you are a more complete and full and perfect person. Are you that as a babe? No. Are you that as a babe in Christ? Are you that as a babe in the word of righteousness? No. If you are striving to be a mature, a more complete person through time and knowledge. Dale. What were we just talking about, Dale? That, coupled with Isaiah chapter 9, in essence are saying the exact same thing, and then it's repeated here in Hebrews. Okay? So it's not like it's a new analogy under the sun. The writer is going back to Isaiah, and he's going forward, in essence for us, because we can see it in 1 Corinthians, this concept, mature, being perfected, being complete, okay? Which you aren't if you are not growing. How can you be a more mature and complete person if you aren't developing, growing? So grow in what?
Yes.
But right. But we also have to be careful here, too, about talking about growth, talking about development, talking about getting stronger in Christ, talking about all this stuff. But the key is in Christ. It's not enough just to put yourself outside your box. You got to do it correctly. Okay? You got to do it for the Lord, not against Him, and not sideways or whatever. So you can't do that if you don't know. If you don't have the knowledge, if you haven't been built up, if you haven't grown. Let's talk about another phrase in here. Excuse me. Just give me a second. Let's go down back down to verse 14. Solid food belongs to those who are full age or mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So let's talk about the phrase senses exercised. What does that conjure up in your mind? To have their, you know, a more mature person has had their senses exercised. Doug, and then...
Constant study. Daily study.
Okay.
I ran into a situation some years ago while I was still on the East Coast. I was in a lunchroom, and two people that I knew walked up, sat down at the table I was at, and he said, "You're a member of the Church of Christ?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay, tell me what's wrong with musical instruments." Still, I got maybe 5 to 10 minutes to explain. But see, if we do our study, and I really love this phrase, where they have their senses exercised. They study, they've worked it over in their minds, they know what teaching is. So that when someone walks up to them and expects some kind of answer in 5 to 10 minutes, you can give it to them.
Serena?
I was going to say, my version, it's the English Standard Version, says, for those who have their power to discern their training by constant practice to distinguish the different kind of what it said.
So what's the key there?
Constant practice.
So, senses exercise. Actual Greek word, translated to us, gymnastics. It's too many vowels in the Greek word. But it's literally translated gymnastics. Okay?
Is that the senses
being trained? It's the senses being exercised. It's actually talking about gymnastics. That,
is that the word for trained or used?
Exercised. The word for exercise, having their senses exercised.
Okay, so that's trained.
Trained. That would be the word trained. Okay, so we all know gymnastics. We all know, I mean, even then, of course, they knew it with the Roman games, et cetera, the Greeks, and set, you know, okay. You don't become a gymnast going out on the mat once. Doesn't work that way. You become a gymnast every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. That's what he's talking about here. That's the word he's using. And they got it. They understood it. Oh, yeah. Kelly.
For an hour, if you're not used to studying the Bible for 5 minutes,
Right.
You got to start somewhere. It's hard to listen to somebody and actually listen to them, not think about what you want out of the conversation. But if I want to sit down with people and listen to them and see if they've got, and be able to figure out if they've got good or evil in their motives, I got to listen to them to figure out where they're coming from. I have to train my ears to listen. I have to train my eyes to read the Bible. And not always just trust my gut or trust what I was taught when I was a kid or...
all those things. All those things. And it's all about training. And there's also a piece of that which you touched upon. Their senses exercised, or gymnastics, or, you know, we're talking about growth. We're talking about the opposite of immaturity. This person has had their senses exercised, okay? So they started, and they built, and they built, and they built, and they built, okay? You study your Bible for 5 minutes. Great. Next week, let's do 10. Or whatever. But by reason of time, you're supposed to be a teacher. These people are, and they've had their senses exercised because they have worked at it. And they have built themselves up. And it's not an easy thing. We're lazy. Humans are lazy. We just are. So deal with it. Kelly. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Sorry, I missed part of that. Sorry.
The immaturity is being content with the basics. But mature people are constantly trying to get better.
Right. They don't just fall into that zone of contentment. Okay? Now, it's intriguing, and this is why I love God's Word, because on the one hand, He tells us to be content in whatever state we are in, right? And I get that. And He tells me not to be content. I need to be growing every day. That's what I love about God's Word. How do you reconcile those two? Well, very easily, obviously. But the point is, we are to be growing and strengthening and building up and being stronger and stronger and stronger. We are not to be babes that are only after milk. We are to be growing so that we are having solid food, that we have our senses exercised, and we have that growth, and we continue to excel. Kathy. It's an intriguing situation. Because these Hebrews are Christians and they're falling away, they are being lured by their knowledge of Judaism. Okay, I'm going to go back to where I was. It's easy. It's comfortable. I can be content. I won't be a Christian and being persecuted and having to deal with the trials and tribulations and everything that Rome is doing to our peoples, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can take it easy. And if I just go back to being a Jew, so there's a couple of things going on there. There's that portion, but then there's also this portion of, yeah, they had a lot of base knowledge that they should have used as a springboard going into Christ and continuing on up and understanding how much He's better. And that's what the writer wants to talk to them about. But I can't, because you guys stagnated. You didn't grow. And by this time, you should have grown. So all I can do is feed you milk again. I would think that... you know, just off the top of my head, that that problem of apathy is kind of a growth from immaturity. I think you have, I think we all have the potential of, you know, just stagnating, being content, not growing. And I think then that can lead to a problem of complete apathy. And if you get to that point, you've walked away. You've already walked away because you're
just sit and do nothing.
And you still walked away.
You're still walking away.
Yeah. You know, you have to be growing. You have to be striving. And that's what he's encouraging here. So we can look at this and we can see this admonition and this you know, warning that the writer is giving these Hebrew Christians. You got to stop and you got to look at yourself. That's the point here. Okay? We got to stop and we got to look at ourselves and we got to say, am I growing? Am I maturing? Okay? January, first month of the year, how'd it go last year? Okay? I don't buy into, never have bought into making New Year's resolutions and all that kind of stuff, whatever. Never done anything for me. But it's a good point in time to look back and say, okay, how'd I do? Did I grow? Or I just warmed the bench? And if I just warmed the bench, why? And if I was doing that, why? You know, you need to be doing something else. So it's a good time to reflect. God's word is here for us. Yes, he wrote it to a specific people at a specific time for specific reasons and purposes, but he gave it to us. It's ours. He's warning them not to be immature. He's warning them you need to be growing. Am I growing? Okay? I need to look at this, and I need to read this, and I need to take this to heart. Am I still a babe? Or have I been growing? Have I been maturing? Getting better, getting stronger? By reason of time, being a teacher, an encourager, not to fall away. Other thoughts before we wrap up tonight? Yeah, go ahead, Richard. Mm-hmm.
If we can follow the same strategy, kind of strategy, because our problems did.
Just the same.
Then,
yeah.
We can see various things, various themes are suggested. One of the ones I, the very first chapter, is talking about angels. He makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire.
Yeah.
But the thing that impresses me about when you think about it, compared to other things, this is a kind of a, when we think of it, it's a Hebrew parallel. It's talking about the angels, essentially, but it's talking about God's service. Flame of fire, compared about zeal.
Exactly. And that's the point. They need to have an influence on us. They need to strengthen us. They need to encourage us. They need to build us up. They need to work us over. They need to, you know, make us grow. And that's the point here, too, of the writer. He's not doing this with a 2x4 in hand just so that he can beat them down. That's not his point. He's making a very difficult point and telling them this, but they need to be growing. They need to be building themselves up. They need to be encouraging. And they need to be taking all this to heart. And there's all kinds of different pieces that we can plug into this. you know, zeal and all these other things that, that tie into it. So, any other thoughts? We didn't get down to chapter 6. I kind of thought we might, but we didn't. I don't know, maybe I was talking too much. But let's pick up in chapter 6, verse 1, next week, where we're going to talk about, you know, he's going to just say, okay, so therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, you know, let's go on to perfection. Let's move on. Let's get better. So let's talk about that, because there's some very interesting things, and Linda pointed this out earlier, because we're that's what he's going. Okay, then let's talk about these elementary principles. So read through chapter 6, the first part, and look for the elementary principles. Okay, look for the elementary principles. So like I said, tonight we were only going to have one bell, and then the kids can come in or not, depending on how the teachers are doing. But we wanted to just talk a few minutes here by way of invitation. If you had not heard yet, either through Facebook or by word being spread, our dear brother Tom Ellington passed away. So Tom passed away yesterday, I believe it was. We got a call from his daughter, I guess called Kathy, to let us know that he had passed. So do you remember the last time he spoke for us? Do you remember that? Remember the last time he spoke for us? When he was done, later on, I went up to him and I said, "Can I have your notes?" He said, "Sure." So he gave me his notes. So I have his notes here. "Time has a way of moving quickly, catching you unaware of the passing years." And he wrote this in very kind of note format, and he always spoke and filled in everything in between. And you can hear it, right? You can hear it.